Attractive.
Attractive.
Gati.
Movements.
Vilasa.
Fascinating acts.
Valguhasa.
Sweet smiling.
Praneha.
Loving.
Nidikshana.
Looking upon.
Kalpita.
Mentality.
Unumanaha.
Highly glorified.
Akritamanu
Kritavatyaha.
In the act of copying the movements.
Unmada
Andaha.
Gone mad in ecstasy.
Prakritim.
Characteristics.
Agan.
Underwent.
Hila.
Certainly.
Yasha.
Whose.
Gopavadvaha.
The coward damsels.
It's a translation.
Let my mind be fixed upon Lord Shri Krishna, whose motions and smiles of love attracted the damsels of Rajadhama, the gopis.
The damsels imitated the characteristic movements of the Lord after his disappearance from the rasa dance.
So, purport by His Divine Grace.
A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada Ki
Jai.
By intense ecstasy in loving service, the damsels of Brajabhumi attained qualitative oneness with the Lord by dancing with Him on an equal level, embracing Him in nuptial love, smiling at Him in joke, and looking at Him with a loving attitude. The relation of the Lord with Arjuna is undoubtedly praiseworthy for devotees like Bhishma Deva, but the relation of the gopis with the Lord is still more praiseworthy because of their still more purified loving service. By the grace of the Lord, Arjuna was fortunate enough to have the fraternal service of the Lord as chariot driver, but the Lord did not award Arjuna with equal strength. The gopis, however, practically became one with the Lord by attainment of equal footing with the Lord. Bhishma's aspiration to remember the gopis is a prayer to have their mercy also at the last stage of his life. The Lord is satisfied more when his pure devotees are glorified, and therefore Bhishma Deva has not only glorified the acts of Arjuna, his immediate object of attraction, but has also remembered the gopis who were endowed with such unrivaled opportunities in rendering loving service to the Lord. The gopis' equality with the Lord should never be misunderstood to be like the Sayuja liberation of the impersonalist. The equality is one of perfect ecstasy where the differential conception is completely eradicated for the interests or of the lover, and the beloved become identical.
Wow.
So, again. Lalita gati vilasa valguhasa praniya nirikshana kapito rumanaha kritamanu kritta vachya unmudandaha prakritim magangila yasya gopavanvaha.
So, omagana chimadandasha.
Gananjana shalakaya chakshur unmiritam yena tasmai shri gurave namaha. So, it's a little surprising to find Grandfather Bhishma talking about the gopis right here as he's getting ready to leave this material world. And because a devotee has a particular worshipful form of the Lord, it's called Ishtadeva, that he is very much attached. Of course, it's also described that a devotee generally doesn't reveal these things publicly. It says one shouldn't show one's beads in public, one shouldn't reveal one's worshipful deity in public, because these are very private things. Now, sometimes you find people say, you know, oh, my worshipful deity is Krishna dancing with the gopis, or Krishna doing this or doing that. And that's a very private thing. As we mentioned yesterday, even when Prabhupada was asked, about his relationship with Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, feeling separation, Prabhupada said, that question you don't need to ask. So you have very, very private. So a devotee doesn't brag or talk about these internal realizations. Usually, there's exceptions to these cases. So every devotee is attached to a particular form of the Lord. And they're so attached to that form of the Lord, just like Grandfather Bhishma, he's attached to the form of Parthasarathi. But they're so attached to that form of the Lord that even if they're encouraged to meditate upon another form of the Lord, they can't do it. And there's many stories that illustrate this particular point. One story is the brother of Rupa and Sanatan Goswami. His name was Anupama. Anupama was a great devotee of Lord Ram. And Rupa and Sanatan Goswami tried to encourage their brother, please chant Hare Krishna. And he was attached to chanting Sitaram, Sitaram, Raghupati, Raghava, Rajaram. Patita Pavana Sitaram. And he tried, but he couldn't do it. He was just crying all night long because he couldn't get to that point of just worshiping Krishna and basically forgetting about Sitaram, Lakshman, and Hanuman. Same thing happened with Murari Gupta. Murari Gupta, of course, is Hanuman himself, who appeared in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes. And Lord Chaitanya praised him for his loyalty to his worshipful form of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And then even the last article about that is Hanuman. There's an interesting story in the Brihad Bhagavatamrita where Hanuman is asked to come see Krishna in Dwarka. The story goes as follows. That Krishna tells Garuda, his bird carrier, to go and get Hanuman from Kim Purusha Loka, because Hanuman is in Kim Purusha Loka. Kim Purusha basically means, is it a human being? You know, what is it? So Hanuman is not quite a monkey. He's not like one of those monkeys you see in Vrindavan steal your glasses, do all those other things. So Garuda flies to Kim Purusha Loka and he says to Hanuman, Krishna would like to see you. Dwarkadish would like to see you. And Hanuman says, no. I've been ordered to stay here and chant the glories of Lord Ram. And we have these deities of Lord Ram. Incidentally, those deities of Lord Ram were later on given to Sripad Madhvacharya. And they're in Udupi right now. Interesting story. So he said, I'm just going to stay here. And I'm not going. And Garuda said to him, you're coming with me. I'm the mighty Garuda. And Hanuman basically did something like flicked his tail. Garuda went flying back, you know, head over tail, or so to speak. Do birds have tails? Yeah, I guess they do. So he went flying back to Lord Vishnu's lotus feet, or actually Krishna's lotus feet in Dwarka. And Krishna said, what happened? And Garuda said, well, I got thrown away. But he was a little proud. And the Brihad Bhagavatamrita, it describes that sometimes Garuda gets a little proud and he says to Krishna or Vishnu that without me you couldn't go anywhere. And then one time Lord Vishnu put his armor on Garuda and said, fly bird, fly. And Garuda was basically crushed. So he learned his lesson. So in this case, Krishna in Dwarka understood that Hanuman was not going to come in that particular case. So what he did is, we know, Krishna and all of his various incarnations, Ete Chaksa Klakshpunta, Krishna's Guru Bhagavad Swayam, Adwaita Chuta Nadi Radhanta Rupam Adyam Purava Purusham Nadiyavayam Cha. There's only one God in different forms, different manifestations, different dramatic leelas. So he sort of looked at this particular point like Lord Ram, and he told Rukmini, okay, you're supposed to look like Sita Devi. And then he sent Garuda back to tell Hanuman Lord Ram and Sita want to see him. And Hanuman just flew back very quickly and to see Ram and Sita Devi. So this is the loyalty that one has to their particular worshipful form and also their particular mood of worship. We have in the case of Grandfather Bhishma, he's absorbed in basically the mood of Vira. The word Vira is interesting. It sometimes means chivalry and sometimes means heroism. So he's absorbed in this mood of chivalry in relationship to the Supreme Personality of God. So much so that his fighting with Krishna, when Krishna was rushing him at him with a chariot wheel, and his firing of arrows at Krishna, and the piercing the transcendental body of Krishna, which manifested what apparently was blood, Krishna experienced as like lover's bites. That's a description Prabhupada gives. I don't know anything about lover's bites. You know, when I think of biting, I just think of crocodiles or something like that. But, you know, some of you may understand these things. So he experienced it somewhat like that. Krishna experienced it, and that was their mood of exchange. And so the question is, why is Grandfather Bhishma talking about the gopis at this particular juncture when, you know, that's not his mood? He's not trying to become a gopi. He has no aspiration to become a gopi. Well, he is appreciating their devotion. Now, sometimes we think about the gopis, and primarily we may think about their particular forms. Or, like, if one wants to become a gopi, then this, of course, is what we talked about yesterday that one should avoid. Generally, we think that someone pictures themselves artificially. I'm a gopi. And sometimes it's really hard for me to picture myself like that. I have to smoke a lot of marijuana to try to picture myself. So people try to picture, and even they make external changes in their gross body. And if you go to Vrindavan, sometimes you'll see the ugliest gopis imaginable. You know, there's a gopi with a little bit of growth of beard on her face, you know, and lipstick. And they said, oh my God, if that's a gopi, Krishna's not going to dance with these gopis. So that's, of course, the Sahaja thing, you know, taking everything very cheaply, how to become a gopi and for dummies. You know, like they have all these books for dummies, how to learn computer programming for dummies, how to do this for dummies, you know, how to become a gopi for dummies. So it doesn't work. It really doesn't work to do that, because the point about the gopis, and I want to talk about the gopis even though I'm not qualified to talk about the gopis, but I'm going to be quoting a little bit from Prabhupada, so that's whatever qualification I have, I can quote from Prabhupada. So the point about the gopis is their bhakti, or their devotion. The reason, this is pointed out by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, but the reason they have these qualities, you know, of extreme beauty, and they're expert in singing, expert in dancing. They did not go to school to learn these things. Just like if any of you ladies, you know how to Bharatanatyam dancing. Anybody here know Bharatanatyam dancing? No? No Bharatanatyam dancers here? Oh yeah, we got one. Okay, one gopi. So, how long did it take for you to learn how to Bharatanatyam dance?
I never really stopped
learning. Oh, you haven't started learning yet?
No, never really stopped learning.
Never stopped learning. Years after years after years. And then you have your ceremony. What is that called? When you come out and you get certified as a Bharatanatyam dancer?
Our
engagement. So it takes time, and you never stop learning. And if you want to learn how to sing or learn how to do anything, play a musical instrument, it takes practice, doesn't it? But guess what? According to Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, the gopis didn't practice, didn't have any lessons. And they were able to do all these things. Now that's very similar to Krishna's situation. When Krishna was a little baby or just born, he happened to kill this very beautiful lady, Putana. You know, Putana was trying to kill him. And Prabhupada makes the comment that Krishna didn't have to go to any mystic yoga factory to learn how to be master, yogeshwara, you know, master of all mystic powers. He didn't learn anything. I mean, he didn't have to learn. He knew it already. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that because of the devotion of the gopis, Krishna gave them all of his most attractive qualities. In other words, they're gopis, not because they wanted to be females, but because they had the topmost unalloyed devotion for Krishna that attracted Krishna, as we know, the quality of Srimati Radharani is what? She always keeps, one of the qualities, she always keeps Krishna under her control. So because the gopis keep Krishna under their control by their devotion, not because they're attractive ladies, which they are, you know, with spiritual bodies. You know, just like in the material world, the wife keeps the husband under control if she's attractive. Right? Therefore, Chanakya Pandit, what does he say? Does anyone know? A beautiful wife is an enemy at home. Anyway. So, because the wife is able to control you. And also, you're also worried that she's looking at someone else or someone else is looking at her. So the primary quality of the gopis is their devotion. And therefore, Krishna gave them qualities and a form as gopis, which are his own attractive features that he gave to the gopis. This is actually not my speculation. This is Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. And this is shown in there, what's described here in the verse is unmadandaha. Unmadandaha is actually two words. It means extreme craziness and also anda means becoming blind. This is called divyon mada, complete transcendental craziness. So let's talk a little bit about the characteristic of the gopis that attracts Krishna and then gets Krishna to give all of his most attractive qualities to the gopis. And that's what Prabhupada means here is when he's saying, because of intense ecstasy in loving service, first verse in the purport, the damsels of Brajabhumi attained qualitative oneness with the Lord. That's what it means. Qualitative. They were giving the quality. You know, qualitative means qualities. So, anyway, so one story is the famous story that illustrates their intense desire to please Krishna. It is, of course, the story that's perhaps all of you know is the story of the headache that Krishna had. And then we'll tell some things that you haven't heard. So Krishna, of course, once upon a time had a headache, or at least he may believe he had a headache. In reality, Krishna doesn't have headaches because why do we get headaches? Blood pressure's too high, or who knows? You know, I guess some of you may have migraine headaches. You have to take some medicine like that. It's due to some misfunction or malfunction in the material body. But anyway, Krishna acted like he had a headache, and he told Narada Muni, "I need some medicine." And Narada Muni said, "What type of medicine do you want? What doctor you would like to go to?" And Krishna said, "The only thing that will cure my headache is the dust of the feet of my devotees." So Narada Muni, he went out and visited various devotees. And basically most of them just said, what? No. I mean, who's going to take the dust of their feet? I mean, remember, this is Indian culture or Vedic culture. Feet are considered muchi, whatever. Like even Prabhupada one time said to a devotee, like we do in the West sometimes, we move everything around with our feet. Like here's a table, you know, if I wanted to move it, I'd put my foot, move it. You know, whatever I want to do, you know, just move things with my feet. Like a monkey. So Prabhupada said, no, don't even move a table with your feet. That's against the culture. What to speak of touching someone with your feet? Just like when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was lying in the door of the Gambira in Jagannath Puri, and Govinda, his servant, wanted to go and massage him, and Lord Chaitanya was blocking the door. And he didn't want to step over Lord Chaitanya. And that's really how heavy he was. I mean, and he said, can you please move so I can come in and do my service? And Lord Chaitanya said, I'm too tired. I can't move. Just do whatever you have to do, basically. And then, eventually, he put a cloth over Lord Chaitanya, stepped over Lord Chaitanya to get in and to massage Lord Chaitanya, but didn't come out. And when Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu later woke up or came back to external consciousness, and he saw Govinda there, he said, why haven't you left and taken your prasadam? And Govinda said that, I'm willing to create an offense in service to you, but not for sense gratification. So that's how serious it is. You know, the feet, or dust of the feet. Whew. Very, very serious, you know, so we have to be careful. Don't step over Vaishnava. And even sometimes it's said that you shouldn't step on a shadow of a Vaishnava. Sometimes in India it's so strict that if someone from a low class would step on a shadow of a Brahmin, he's killed. Or they beat him up or something like that. So that's the culture. And so all the devotees were asked. None of them said, yeah, we'll give the dust of the feet. And then the gopis were asked, and you all know the answer. And they said, sure, take it right away. And Narada Muni asked, aren't you concerned with committing an offense and going to hell? And they said, we don't care. We want Krishna's headache to be cured. And so that's the reason that Grandfather Bhishma is glorifying him at this point, because of that high level of ecstatic love. And I want to read some of Prabhupada's translations of the last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita that really illustrates the mood of the gopis. And this last chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita deals with the Shikshastika prayers of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And these Shikshastika prayers have been analyzed in different ways by the Acharyas. One way that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he talks about how each of the Shikshastika prayers indicates a different level of advancement in devotional service, also indicates a different time of day in Krishna's day, you know, the Ashtakali Lila. But in this particular case, we're going to refer to the last of the Shikshastika verses that illustrates the mood, the intense loving mood of the gopis. And I'm going to read some of them and maybe speak a little bit about it. So this is the Anchalila 20th chapter. So we'll start with this verse. Let Krishna tightly embrace this maidservant who is falling at his lotus feet, or let him tremble. It's a little bit different translation that Prabhupada is giving here than we're accustomed to. Or let him trample me or break my heart by never being visible to me. He is a debauchee, after all, and can do whatever he likes. But he is still no one other than my worshipful Lord of my heart. So let's talk about the word debauchee. Debauchee means basically someone, let's say someone's married to someone else, and the man is going out and having all sorts of affairs outside. Generally, and I've never experienced an exception to this, not in my own life, I have nothing to do with this stuff, but in observing others, that the lady who says, you know, I love him so much, it's okay. Or like the story that Prabhupada mentions in the this chapter of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, about the man who had leprosy and he wanted to visit a prostitute, and his wife went to work for the prostitute so that this man, I'm not advising this, this is not grihastha advice right now. Please, don't take it out of context, you know. Abhir Krishna Maharaj said that the ladies should be so faithful to their husbands that they go work for it. No, actually the statement is that the lady, if she's with a husband who's completely fallen, cannot be reconciled, you can leave. Because you have the case of a moga, who was married to Sati, the daughter of Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, and the moga blasphemed Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, as Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was taking prasad. And basically, Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya said that my daughter Sati doesn't have a husband anymore. It's finished. Because he was so offensive to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is not marital advice here. This is the gopi's devotion. So anyway, so Prabhupada makes reference to this particular story. The lady works for the prostitute. She agrees to see this man. And basically, the man realizes after a while the chastity and devotion of his wife, and he gives up his idea associated with the prostitute, and there's a whole story in the Markandeya Purana, how he touches Markandeya Rishi and gets cursed, and the lady stops the rising of the sun. But that's... Okay, so that's one story the Prabhupada makes reference to. So that sort of devotion, no matter what the person you're devoted to does, you remain loyal to that particular person. And this is somewhat like Queen Kunti's prayer, Tatra Tatra Jagat Guru Krishna, again and again send misery so I can remember you. Prabhupada was asked one time whether we should pray like Queen Kunti for more miseries. And Prabhupada said, no. It's miserable enough as it is. I mean, I know I pray, Krishna, don't send any more miseries. You know, I've had enough. I think it's good to be honest. Because if you pray on a level that you're not at, you're going to end up in trouble. You know, and I'm not on that level for sure. So, but this is, you know, this is extreme devotion. And here's the next verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I am a maidservant at the lotus feet of Krishna. He is the embodiment of transcendental happiness and mellows. If he likes, he can tightly embrace me. This is a paraphrasing of the Chinchashtika verse. Make me feel oneness with him, or by not giving me his audience, he may corrode my mind and body. Nevertheless, he is the Lord of my life. My dear friend, just hear the decision of my mind. Krishna is the Lord of my life in all conditions, whether he shows me affection or kills me by giving me unhappiness. Sometimes Krishna gives up the company of other gopis and becomes controlled mind and body by me. Thus he manifests my good fortune and gives others distress by performing his loving affairs with me. Or since, after all, he is the very cunning, obstinate debauchee, with a propensity to cheat, he takes to the company of other women. He then indulges in loving affairs with them in front of me to give distress to my mind. Nevertheless, he is still the Lord of my life. I mean, this is the mood of the gopis right here. This is the conjugal mood. You know, if one wants to be a gopi, that's how you have to think. Krishna, you can do anything. If you're not thinking like that, you can meditate all day long on your female form. And yes, you will take birth as a lady in your next life, but not as a gopi. Yeah. That's not